Sun's on my back, wind's in my ears. I haven't felt this good in years. See all the people in the field all lined up in a row. We got a couple more long hours of work before it's time to go. We're all working, working hard.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes Who Happen to Be Therapists. I'm psychologist and meet therapist Dr. Kim Weaver, along with psychotherapist Hughes Kraft, and we may or may not be joined today by a couple of therapists, Dr. Ian Sandler. Who's ever here, we will be boldly going out into the public sphere once again. I know therapists have come on before, failing that, hopefully come back in dysfunction and bring some insights into the issues of life, love, and the search for a decent relationship. And we will be joined with the life psychologist, Dr. Mark Keefe, clinical director of Bayside Neurorehabilitation Services, and some cutting-edge brain research called Minute and Gone. So, here with my buddy Hughes Kraft. Hughes, are you there? Good morning.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you well. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of, I got to be honest with you, I'm getting a lot of feedback on your side, so I don't know if, how our audience is hearing you, but I'm certainly hear a lot of scratch between you and the voice, your voice. But let's proceed as we can.
Well, we're sort of improvising here today in terms of topic, and we're going to talk a little bit about stress, lots of stressful things in people's lives. I just had a very stressful situation in terms of moving. I bought a new house, and it's stressful working with the banker on the mortgage, stressful getting everything moved, stressful getting in here and putting everything together, not knowing where anything is, and all the routines. It's amazing to me how much energy it takes when you don't have kind of normal routines, when you're constantly having to think about everything you do and making it up as you go along rather than getting into those sort of comfortable patterns.
Yeah, we kind of, humans are wired for familiarity, predictability, routine, and we all obviously strive for that in oh so many ways by having our calendars and schedules ahead of us, and when we're throwing a curveball like you were in the last couple of weeks, it can really get you out of balance, and I think it increases the stress response or the anxiety response to things, and can really upset your energy patterns, your eating patterns, relationship patterns. Really influences a lot of different angles of our lives. So how you doing? You settling back down yet? You feel like you're getting your food again or what?
Yeah, especially this weekend, because I what I should have done was taken some time off to do this. I didn't realize how much I hadn't moved in many, many years, so I didn't realize how discombobulating it was going to be. So I went ahead and worked the week last week, but I think if I had to do over again, I would take a week off and really get settled in. you feel very tired at the end of the day because of all that. But, you know, one of the things they list, the amount of stress that you feel at certain life events. I forget who made up this list, but and I'm not really clear how they rated it, but at the top of the list was, death of a child. That's the most stressful thing that can happen into somebody's life. And the second one was the death of a spouse, followed by divorce, and followed by moving. So very much up there on the stress level, even though there are lots of things that are wonderful about it. And, you know, it's exciting to have something new, and it's exciting to be involved in something new, but it also carries, some stress level. Even on the list, not way up at the top, somewhere down towards the bottom, but at least having a stress level, is going on vacation. Even going on vacation can be stressful because it is out of your routine, and lots of things that can happen as you go on vacation where it doesn't work out exactly the way you want it, or you have to, you get lost while you're driving somewhere, etc.
So, Jim, don't go on vacation. You can prevent stress by not going on vacation.
Yeah.
Well, the other two things that I've heard that are on that list too are having a baby and getting married.
Yep.
You know, and sifting through that list, I mean, it's not all hardship and negative things. There's some really positive things on that list too, such as like going on vacation. You would think it would kind of reduce the stress and get a break from it. But it really does increase stress. And, it's just interesting to hear that stress is stress, however you cut it.
Yeah. And, I don't know if you've had this experience, but I've come back from a really fun and exciting vacation to say, now I need a vacation before I go back to work. I'm worn out from my vacation.
Definitely. I try to build a day in for myself when I do go on a long trip to re-enter, re-enter the zone and kind of get back to my ritual a little bit, because it is stressful coming up.
Yeah, I usually try to build in a day or two after coming back from vacation just to sort of chill out, like you said, to kind of get yourself ready and up for getting back into your normal routine.
I found it interesting when you had your move, how you didn't take some time off for yourself. And I think when we're involved in a stressful situation, whether it's a negative in our lives, sometimes we forget to build in some time. We tend to run faster or try to move quicker or handle the list efficiently. But we forget to build in maybe a kind of an hour here or half an hour there as a way of taking care of ourselves along. Biggest get rid of the stress.
Yeah, I think we don't really take into account what kind of downtime we need. I think it's a very good idea to have meditating time and downtime and reading time. Build that into your day. If you can't build it in every day, build it in into your week so that you can have that recharging time. And I think some people need it more than others. I think introverts, which I'm kind of an introvert, need a little bit more downtime than extroverts. I think extroverts get recharged by being around people and that energy and that excitement. But introverts need to get away from that on a regular basis and just get some time to recharge their batteries on their own. That's kind of the way that I feel.
Now, I guess I tend to consider myself an extrovert, and I was around a lot of people this weekend from Thursday night right through last night, and I need some downtime.
even extroverts need downtime, eh?
Well, interesting. What led to me was the socializing and the excitement and just being around other people, which I get a lot of value from, and exhausting on the other end too. So it's like, all right, I need a little bit of a break. And just being conscious of that is helpful because it's stressful being on all the time.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I was all the time, you know, you got to be handling or dealing with that which is in front of you.
Another thing about stress, I think, is sometimes it's helpful. If you can share the load, you know, if you can share the stress, if you can ask for help, if you can have somebody pick up your slack, et cetera. You know, sometimes we try to do it all or think that we should be doing it all, and even just letting somebody know that you're stressed and getting, you know, a little sympathy response from them can help you to manage it.
You know, we guys, you know, I think you and I both qualify, but I think we tend to be heroic a little bit, don't we? We tend to kind of want to pretend or take it all on and shoulder the obligation or responsibility, thinking we just need to muscle our way through. We don't ask for help very well, do we?
Right. You know, that old cliche about men not asking for directions. That's a classic or quintessential indication of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was never given a map, so why should I? Why should I ask for help and get it done? I'm hoping that Mark calls in at the end of the hour. Maybe he can talk a little bit about the physiological components of stress, too. So we'll see if he's going to call in later on in the show.
I don't
see him on the list yet? Okay. Well, I just was going to bring up the idea of how does one know when one is stressed? Like, culturally, it just seems like we are moving so much faster and so much more information is crossing our awareness every day. We're being asked to do more with less. Financial crisis obviously is in the news every day, as is in the wars that we're fighting, and et cetera, et cetera. You know, there's a lot of stress going on. But I don't know, I don't think we always know how much stress we're under because we don't get a break from it, so it tends to be chronic. And,
right, and it seems normal when it's really not. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, it seems normal. That's a good point. It seems normal, and it's really not normal.
I ask people to look at...
Go ahead. I was just thinking about to have people look at the difference between distress and eustress. There's actually positive stress, which kind of is that adrenaline that for when you're up at bat at the bottom of the ninth inning, you're down by one run, or, you know, there's something exciting going on in your life, you're about to go out and give a speech or something. You know, you experience some stress, but once you engage in activity, it tends to go away or kind of, and then you kind of come back to a normal state of being. Folks who are stressed all the time, who consider it normal now, I consider that distress. And there's a lot of people living with distress in today's modern culture, I think, that they don't really understand the toll it's taking psychologically, physiologically, relationally.
Right. I think you're right that there is positive stress, and it really gears you up to do your best. If you didn't have, you know, some stress, you wouldn't sort of challenge yourself or rise to the occasion, those kinds of things. But the question is, and if you didn't have any stress at all, I mean, your life would be extremely dull, and you'd get very flaccid, and that would be you'd just sort of melt into a puddle. But where does that line cross in which it becomes chronic or it becomes too much? And I think we have to monitor that and make sure we're not getting too much stress and then find ways to pull back from that. So I think that's something that bears looking at in your life and making conscious decisions about what you do instead of sort of the chronic or the habitual that may not be that good for you.
Yeah. I'm stressed out thinking about what to say next.
Well, that's a good stress use. That will make you rise to the occasion.
Well, so maybe we can talk a little bit about techniques for dealing with stress. I just took care of myself by naming it. Naming the stress I was in, which is helpful. Identifying.
Right, you shared
that with me. I'm not asking for help.
Right, but you shared it with me. And then we can experience that together.
Hey, I'm a big proponent of exercise. Go ahead. Big proponent of exercise is the way I kind of cut the edge a little bit. You know, I know for me when I'm squirrely. I know when stress is in my body, and it can be helpful to go for a bike ride or a swim or some of the other things I choose to do. Quick relief.
I think that's an excellent way to deal with it for all kinds of reasons. There's some research, and maybe Mark can comment on this if he comes in there at the end, but there's some research that says that your ability to tolerate stress, not only to relieve the stress that you're under, but your ability to tolerate stress increases when you exercise. That you build up actually in your in your protoplasm, your cells actually can tolerate and deal with and dissipate stress much better if you exercise. So I'm a big proponent of that also. Plus the fact that if you do aerobics, it releases endorphins, which are sort of natural pain healers, and I think it heals pain physiologically and psychologically.
That's a good point. So what about another? Stress? So we're talking about. Go ahead.
Talking about ways to deal with stress. I think another way is to find some quiet time. As you were talking about earlier, in our modern society, everything is go, go, go. And even watching television stimulates you. I know that if I watch too much stimulating TV near bedtime, it's harder to get to sleep. So if you can find some space, some quiet time, some place to just be quiet. And also if you add really soothing music, that can really help with stress also.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see some research around what music may do vibrationally or energy-wise to the inner brain waves, how it can be soothing. I mean, we're not talking about headbanging music, are we, Jim? We're talking about some soothing music, as you said.
Well, actually, as you bring that up, sometimes... really good, hard rock and roll music can really put me in a great mood and feel like much stress has gotten relieved. So I think it can be whatever you need at the moment, and sometimes that's helpful of, what you need and what would be good for you. Sometimes soothing music is the answer for me. Sometimes really hard rock is the answer for me. So... they can be different kinds of stress relievers at different times.
Yeah, and as you said, it's really kind of paying attention to what needs are. And I liked what you said earlier, too, about the TV thing. You got to be really mindful, to use that word again, of what we're making ourselves available to, whether it's hard rock or soft music. TV that revs us up at the end of the night or is discomforting or disquieting to the mind at the end of the day. Food, too. We haven't talked about food, but, I'm sure different foods can be stressful to them on a physiological basis.
Yeah.
Revving up with a lot of sugar at the end of the night probably is not the healthiest of things, let alone eating a lot at the end of the day. Being mindful of how much caffeine / coffee or one drinks throughout the day. You know what I find fascinating is these like jolt or these caffeinated drinks, which are kind of like, you know, mega five times the caffeine. It's like, how much does one need?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you got
caffeinated coffee.
You gotta wonder what that's doing to your body, really. Yeah, I think some people, I certainly have seen people in my practice, who come in for anxiety, and then, I ask them how much coffee, how much caffeine do they have, and it's a tremendous amount, and just cutting back on the amount of caffeine can make a big difference in terms of how stressed, how anxious you feel. So I think that's helpful. Another way I think of dealing with stress is going for a walk. I can come home at the end of the day and feel tired, like I have no energy at all, don't want to do anything. And, if I go for a walk, which I feel like I don't have the energy for, by the time I get done with the walk, I feel like I have energy, and I feel much more relaxed, I feel much better. Just getting out, in the air, in the nature, whatever you've got available to you, really, I think is a good stress reliever and very helpful for me.
Nice. Yeah, it's not kind of surrendering to the exhaustion or the stress, but kind of saying, all right, I need to take a break. What also came up for me around that was changing our environments. If I'm sitting at home with 42 tasks to do on a Saturday afternoon, maybe I need to get off the property and go somewhere else as a way of breaking that stressful list of things that I've got going on. I'm taking a break from work for a half-hour walk during the middle of the day to give ourselves some breathing room.
When you're in your house, you sort of feel like you have to do a bunch of things. There are a bunch of things there waiting for you and staring you in the face. If you can get away, no matter how you get away, it can relieve some stress. Those things will be there when you get back, and you can, apply yourself to them then. But in the meantime, you can get a little relief, and when you go back to them, you can go back to them fresh with more energy, with more focus, and to be much more effective and much more efficient. So, sometimes it may seem like you're not doing what you need to do or getting away from your chores, but it can actually make you much more effective and efficient in doing your chores when you get back to them.
Right. I try to coach my kids on that a lot. They have homework, and obviously they're up some nights late doing their homework, and it's just not going smoothly. So I encourage them to go to bed, get a good night's sleep, and attack it in the morning. It tends to go a lot easier for them when they can make that leap.
Right.
It's hard to let go. There's stress in letting go. It requires some practice, some confidence, some faith, to let
right.
go and kind of come back to it later.
Yeah.
So no Mr. Kiefner, no Mr. Dr.
Oh, wait a minute. I think we have Dr. Keith has tuned in, and let's say hello. Is that you, Dr. Kiefner?
It is me. How are you guys
doing? Hey, we're doing good. We're doing good.
So did I hear in the background, no Dr. Kiefner? Come on.
No.
No, we know Dr. No. Kiefner.
Oh, we know Dr. Kiefner.
Yes.
Oh, my God. You're funny.
It was a question. No Dr. Kiefner? And it was a line to set me up to say, yes, here he is.
Here he is, right here. The thing I wanted to talk about today, which I've been meaning to talk about for a number of weeks, is a book and a website that I've been looking at lately. It's by a fellow named John Medina, and it's Brain Rules, BrainRules, in other words, Rules for the Brain. He's got 12 rules for your brain, which I think are kind of useful. We're actually going to be doing a little in-service, series of in-services for our staff and our clients on this here. But the I just caught on to the last moments of what you were saying, but one of his rules is about sleep. It says sleep well, think well. And I thought I heard you guys talking about sleep. So it's a book and a website that I think is kind of really interesting, and I'm recommending it to people to look at. The website is brainrules.net.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Brainrules.net. And the guy's name is John Medina, and he's written a book about these 12 principles for making your brain function most effectively. So that's my minute on the mind.
Well, I was just thinking, a lot of times we think our bodies need rest, but our brains need rest too, don't they?
Oh, my God, our brains need a lot of rest. Yeah. Yeah, all the time. But they also need exercise, just like our bodies need exercise. If you exercise, physical exercise, aerobic exercise, is super critical for brain function. We're always thinking, oh, I ought to do more Scrabble or crosswords or some kind of brain teasers. But really, a brisk walk will do more for your brain than any of that stuff will.
Is that right? That's really excellent.
Yeah, there's actually real good research that says aerobic exercise will do more to boost your brain power than any of those kinds of intellectual stimulation games. Because, you're thinking all the time, but you're not always
exercising. True.
So what else did I cut in on?
What do you mean?
What else were you guys talking about?
We're talking about stress, and we talked about different kinds of stress, and we're talking about ways to dissipate stress, which fits right in with this. Get some good sleep, and you do good things for your brain. That was actually one we hadn't gotten to yet in terms of things for stress, which is really get good rest. Do any other of Medina's brain rules come to mind?
Any other rules come to mind? He talks about sleep. He talks about stress, too. Uh-huh. Stressed brains don't learn well.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, we all know that from our introductory psychology classes, that a certain amount of anxiety heightens your performance too much.
Right.
Boom.
Yep.
Your performance drops off. So
we
all know that anyway.
Yeah.
Those are some things. And I what I can do in the upcoming weeks is maybe take one of the rules that he talks about and talk about it for a minute or two.
That sounds great.
Cool.
So we're going to wind down. Anything before we end, guys?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good. Right. I just encourage everybody to have a stress-free day.
There you go.
You tell me how to do that.
Breathe.
That's next week.
Okay.
All right, guys. I'm Dr. Jim Weaver, and you can get in touch with me at drjimweaver.com. And Hughes?
Hughes Kraft. My phone number is 207-774-0110.
All right. Mark, what's your name?
Dr. Mark Kiefner, Bayside Neuro Rehab, and you can look at us on the web at goodwill.org. Okay.
Great. Here's Megan Jen Wilson to take us away with Take Me Away.
See ya.
See you next week.
See ya. Get it.